Okay, y'all. Okay. Let's go. So we have so much to talk about. The three key components of today's podcast. I want to talk about Loki season two, the season finale. I want to talk about the Marvels. Absolutely loved it. And then I want to talk about the haters that we have presently in all of these podcasts, videos, social media, all this. I'm like, but why though? and let me start there, because that's the juicy heart of it. And just a warning for those of you that have not seen Loki season two, do not listen to this podcast right now, because I'm gonna spill all the juicy juice. Do not listen to this podcast if you have not watched the Marvels movie, if you have not watched Captain Marvel, if you haven't watched Miss Marvel, if you haven't watched WandaVision, if you haven't watched Captain Marvel, and if you haven't seen the Avengers Infinity, I am Iron Man Snap. Yeah, there's a lot. I don't want to spill all the juicy juice on you. I don't want to get juice on you if you're not ready yet. Consent. So here's the deal. Right about, I want to say, early 90s, you know, I'm just starting to get deodorant and all that, and figure out that my body is changing and all that, and I'm getting away from all the sci-fi and really starting to get into like the NBA and all the shoes and, you know, all the shoes I couldn't afford, and, you know, going to the mall and just drooling over all the new Nikes and all the new Jordans and, you know, all the outfits that I couldn't afford. And pop culture was amazingly dominated by Michael Jordan, by Wayne Gretzky, by Bo Jackson, so much to the point where they even had a cartoon, Ken Griffey Jr. So, like, these were like the gods. And as far as like movies and all that, you know, hip hop had just gotten so musty, right? Now that the flat top was in, then it turned into like dreads and braids. And then from dreads and braids to, you know, brush cuts and shorter hairstyles, the Halle Berry hairstyle like took over. And I'm saying all this to say that for quite a long time, I got away from comic books, from drawing, from writing, from all that, because of one word: nerd. Nerd alert. And then I finally was watching a movie called Can't Hardly Wait, because this was about the time I was in, you know, college and all that. So the Can't Hardly Wait, like, they're making fun of the nerdy kids, or in the movie they're showing how the nerdy kids are playing with like lightsabers and, you know, Darth Vader toys and, you know, Luke Skywalker toys and all that. And one of the nerds just happens to go and party. And I won't spoil the whole thing, but he parties so well that people want to party with him. And he leaves his little nerdy friends out in the cold, out to nerd in their own nerdum, whatever. While this one of their friends goes out and experiences life and has a great time. You know, he completely, you know, flips the whole, you know, scenario that we know, the cliche of the nerd and Dungeons and Dragons and all that, which is great and wonderful stuff. It is great and amazing and wonderful. It's creativity. It's beautiful. And this is why I'm saying this. If you don't get out in the real world and look at what you're doing to your product and how you're marketing it and talking about it financially, when the money stops being there, the whole genre will stop being there. And people were saying, oh, Marvel's going to be around the next 20, 30 years and all this. You all are going to kill it. You harsh critics. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But to, and this is where I'm so confused, to make a whole channel based on what you don't like, well, that's easy. You really don't like it? Let's take it away from you so that you have nothing else to talk about, because it wasn't really making us any money. You guys that kept condemning all our movies and shows did the work. You did the marketing for us. Now we know for without a shadow of a doubt, go away for 10, 20 years, come back for 10. Go away for 10 and 20 years, come back for 10. So after, you know, all the fans get done roasting all this Marvel stuff, we'll probably be in like phase 5 or 6, and they'll probably go away for a while. And it's at that point, I believe that we will be Disney Plus only, and there will be no more movies. By that time, maybe, you know, DC will keep up and catch up. But I mean, do you want more? I mean, to just kill it when other people are having fun. And here's the point with all that criticism: when someone else is enjoying it and you just snatch it out of their hands, look at this trash, and throw it down on the ground and step on it. Well, I was eating that, sir. Sorry. You know, I don't know what you like and don't like, but that was my food. I like that. I was eating that. Now I'm mad at you. So what will you talk about if everything gets canceled? Like, the fans do not control movie production. Like, they're only doing this because they made a lot of money. So when you start affecting that, that's it. The money. I mean, kiss it goodbye. Like, look at all these Marvel shows and movies coming out right now. There's like Coco and the new remake, the real life Beauty and the Beast, and Under the Sea with the new Ariel, Chloe Bailey, Frozen. Like, there's just tons of merchandise and movies. Moana that can be made. So I get it, y'all, but if you want to run it down and trash it, just beware. You might get what you want. Just letting you know, you might get what you want. You might criticize it so well that you don't get no more. Then I mean, what are you guys going to talk about? Power? Book 4? You're going to really jump genres and talk about a whole nother thing? You're going to watch The Bachelor? Golden Years or The Bachelorette? I don't think so. If that's what you wanted, you would have been talking about those things already, which is not bad. You know, if you want to talk about relationships and people and love, I like that. That's me. But this doesn't play out well. That's all I'm saying. If you really love something, love it enough to be an endorser and an influencer. Find a way to get in touch with these directors. Find a way to get in touch with Marvel. If I don't like the food at a restaurant, I'm not going online to talk about it. But if I genuinely care about what comes from that kitchen time and time again, I might pull the manager aside and say, hey, you know what? There was a little bit too much salt in this dish, a little bit too much pepper in this dish. And if you just tweak it just a little bit, we can, you know, make a really great change. I've loved coming to this restaurant for the last 10 years, and it just seemed like something changed. You know, maybe we can go work on it. Your crying, complaining, and criticism does absolutely nothing. And I feel like it's really sad that someone like me, and I say this from a coaching perspective, an athletic perspective, and a creative mind, that people so intelligent don't understand that changing the equation changes the equation. Moving variables out and putting variables in is how you change the equation. You can't yell at it and change the equation. You can't post about it. Last time I checked, keyboard warriors didn't stop one war. I mean, they might increase the damage, but keyboard warriors have not stopped one war. Haven't stopped one shooting or any of the trauma or terror we see in the news. If you can, please do more. If you can stop all this bad stuff happening in the news and the media and all this, yeah, please be my guest. Type away. So let's transition. But yeah, that was my question. What are you guys going to talk about if everything gets canceled? Are you going to jump genres and go to MasterChef and the romance from these shows and movies, these reality TV shows? I don't know. Maybe you'll do reviews on Fast and Furious. I don't know. But go stop trashing your industry, because it will get thrown in the trash. But yeah, as I transition, oh boy, Loki. So I'm going to fast forward to the ending, and the look on his face, the look on his face and the evolution of his character of finding peace in the responsibility and importance of his life as a sacrifice. That was it for me. Seeing Loki become what he's been trying so hard to get immaturely, what he's been trying so hard to get out of force, what he's been trying so hard to get with a mischievous backbiting, stabbing, and twisting of things. He's been trying so hard to be the best third grader at the school. He's been trying so hard to be the best junior at the high school. He didn't realize he's not supposed to be the god of mischief. Now he can be the god and watcher of all time. And the Yggdrasil, the tree, is now him. He's him. So, oh my God, y'all. I had this panic while I was watching him walk out there. And you know what I'm talking about. He's walking to the loom. And I'm like, oh, wait, he's a god. He's got all his magic. Because they turned off. That's what I thought was one of the coolest things. He and Sylvie are there. And they're like, we don't want to turn off the whole machine, because if we reboot the whole TVA, it'll turn on all the magic. They were like, do it. Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
Turn on all the magic, please.
So, yeah. I'm just dropping hot tamales all over the place here, y'all. Sorry. I was snacking. Yeah, let's do it, please. So, seeing him walk out to the loom and face all the waves that disintegrated He Who Remains, or Victor Timely, I'm sorry, that disintegrated Victor Timely, and then collect data, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and then realize he's the only one. That suit and whatever that fabric of the suit was made of wasn't enough to destroy a Loki or a Thor. I don't know. I'd be curious to see whose genetic fiber was strong enough to last against those waves of, you know, loom spasms, right? So I'd be really curious to see, like, who stands up against all that. But I just loved it so much. I had so much fun with this show. They kept me, you know, twisting and moving and bending. And the hardest part for me was like going back to the realization of everyone having to sit and think about what Loki had to sit and think about in that first episode, which was, we didn't take you away from anything. We just pulled you right out of your death scenario. Like, you were about to die, homie. We did you a favor. So now come work with us, you know? So yeah, come work with us. You're doing too much. You're about to create another branch that we don't need, or you're about to die, right? So what an amazing but humbling thing. Like, so is the TVA heaven? Not necessarily, but You could almost say it was that. In the work that they're doing, they're helping. They're messengers. They're like angels. They can be there in a moment and then be gone, walk right through a portal. I just wrote as a note that, you know, King Loki may be the best thing they've done in Marvel since the snap. Like this really hit hard, because the WandaVision show really messed with my mind. The Falcon and Winter Soldier was more grounded, rooted soldiers, you know, good cop, bad cop. You know, they did their thing right there, which was fine. I thought that was fine. I really loved it. I loved the direction they were going. I loved the little cast and, you know, the little you know, remnants or remaining people merging and fighting with the people that got blipped back, having a better world, a better economy, like all that. It was dope. Then like being introduced to Loki, you know, great show. You know, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel, Hawkeye, like they've done a great job. Like I feel like the shows have like the steady flow of the MCU that we're used to. The movies are where it's kind of branched into, you know, various areas, kind of poked at people, tested people a little bit, like Shang-Chi and Eternals. But yeah, they don't weave in together, but we know that they do. They don't weave back together, but we know that they do. And I feel like that is the multiverse of madness, of not knowing how all this is going to come back together. It was space. Now it's other things. It's space. It's the multiverse. It's all these things. It's time travel. It is like, how does this affect Spider-Man? Like, we just watched No Way Home. I'm like, how does this affect that? Like, do they bump into each other? Is the Spider-Man that we've come to know in Tom, does he meet Mary Jane now because of this? You know, as we continue, are we continuing business as usual? Or is Loki shaking things up? Are things being shook up here, shooken everywhere else? You know, and how will this affect other parts of the MCU? So, I don't know. It really was very mind-bending and amazing to watch this show and watch it all go down. Simply because I've always wanted to kind of see Loki cause problems and cause trouble. And instead of causing problems, causing trouble, he's kind of gotten that whooping, you know? Like the TVA kind of gave him that whooping. And it's kind of like this video that Ice Cube made years ago where this guy gets to prison and thinks he's the biggest, baddest dude in the prison, starts mouthing off at people, yelling at people, and he's the one that ends up being like the biggest girlfriend, you know, to everybody. So it's like seeing somebody get checked or punked is a very hard thing, because I feel like everybody goes through it, because there's always a bigger fish. There's always somebody meaner, nastier, or that has more power. And then so for Loki to say, is this the height of all power in the very first episode? I mean, it kind of was. Being able to control time is an amazing and dominant power. And I mean, they had a whole tray full of Infinity Stones. So, yeah, that part. Yeah, I went back and looked at that. I'm like, wait, they just opened up a whole tray of Infinity Stones and none of them work. What kind of technologies does it take to cloak that and use it as a paperweight? Like, they just look like giant pop rocks. So, seeing Loki go through this process of being punked and have to learn and grow and bend and maneuver and be a prisoner, be a fugitive, get beat up, get smacked down, fall in love, and then ultimately just have to mature. It's quite a lot. It's amazing. So my hat's off to the crew. They did a phenomenal job. OB, thank you so much. I mean, American-born Chinese, Everything, Everywhere, Always, and now Loki. Like, this dude is on fire, okay? He's on fire. So I'm happy to see what, you know, Ke Huy Quan will do in the future now that he's back. Tom Hiddleston, I mean, him and his wife basically dominated this week, this last weekend, with her in the Marvels and him as Loki. I mean, maybe he'll go back and save her. But yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see. Only time will tell. But I'm really excited for the direction that Marvel's going. But people also have to remember, like, we had COVID to deal with. What that messed up a lot of filming. We had the Screen Actors Guild strike. They've changed the director's screenplay and director and screenplays of Blade like 5 times. Mahershala Ali is about to walk away, and I cannot tell you how bad that will look on Marvel doing that to him. And then I guess Kevin Feige like lowered the budget for Blade. So no, I don't agree with that. So all the people are like, Marvel's tanking, Marvel's in trouble, Marvel's doing so bad now. That part right there, yes, for Blade, I will say, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I hate that for Mahershala Ali. And for him to be the only one going through this as a black man, absolutely not. Like, I can't get with that. Things happen, but it shouldn't look like this. Not for him. I don't know, maybe if they were doing like a younger show, or if they couldn't get it together because they wanted the cast of, say, Zombies or The Descendants from Disney Plus, if they were struggling to write and bring things together for a crew like that that's younger, while they are experienced, they're all great little kid actors and teenage actors. This man's Academy Award winner, so don't play with him. I hope you wouldn't do that with Harrison Ford, because he's got the Thunderbolts. I hope you don't do it with Denzel or Nick Fury with Samuel L. Jackson. Like, don't play with people. Like, don't play with the writing. Don't play with their integrity. Don't play with, you know, their respect. But last but not least, I saved this for last because I'm about to really go. The Marvels. It was perfect for Scott Pilgrim fans, Kill Bill 2 fans, Ghostbuster and Men in Black fans. The fight choreography was top. Loved it. That's like my only knock on a lot of these films is, like, usually the movie will be really good, but the fight choreography is bad. Like The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight fight choreography was slow. And then the fight choreography in the last Dark Knight Rising with Bane, like, it was horrible. I'm like, there's about 8 fights in the UFC that are better than this every year. Like, all you'd have to do is put the Batman and Bane costume on 2 guys in the UFC and you would get a better fight. Like, I'm like, y'all, this, who made this? And I went and read how they tried to explain it and break it down. And they didn't want to cause problems, but they were trying something new, which I'm like, okay, well, you should have sped up the camera so people could see, like, you know, a good fight. Because if you're going to do standing striking combat, then do it in a way that I want to see it at the movies. This is where I'm kind of like with the Marvel fans that are angry. When I go to the movies, I don't want to see something that the kids at the playground would do. I want to see an elite level crime fighter fighting an elite level assassin. That shouldn't look like 2 guys that had just had a couple beers fighting over a girl in the parking lot with, you know, beer on their breath, right? So the fight choreography was top in Marvel's. Finally, cool costumes. And mark my words, wait till you see girls wearing these costumes. It's going to take over. When I saw Rey, the only female Jedi we've, boom, maximized on the screen and all that. When I saw Rey as a Halloween costume, like, that almost brought tears to my eyes, because I have a daughter. And if you have girls, you understand how this world looks when it comes to heroes and costumes and all that. I will fight you if you try to put my daughter in a Black Widow costume, or I know girls like to do it, ladies like to do it, the little sexy cop, sexy police, sexy all this. I'm like, it's kind of trash. Like, and to me, it's kind of sad, because if you are a beautiful woman, you're beautiful 365. Like, you shouldn't have to push it, you know, on Halloween. It also shows the lack of creativity for female heroes and female costumes. So it which is also kind of sad. It's like, our young girls and our ladies and women deserve these cool costumes. They had comic book day at one of the children's centers, and a girl came walking up like the Scarlet Witch and was like perfect, phenomenal. And it's like, you just think, like, what do girls really have? They might have Wonder Woman, but that's kind of it. Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. So now that we've got more costumes, mark my words, the costumes will be there. Tayana Paris was electric and awesome as Monica Rambeau. Just wonderful, right? Like, she's just such a beautiful person. Her presence in the WandaVision is where we came from and how we got here. I loved it. It was dope. Like, they created a hero out of a Disney Plus show for the MCU. So I thought that was dope. Iman Vellani, Miss Marvel, you know, Kamala Khan. Like, absolutely love her family. Absolutely love them. Their back and forth, their banter. She's such a cute girl. You know, I feel like she's my daughter. Whenever I see Kamala Khan on the Marvel shows and TV, like, I feel like she's my daughter. I just want to give her a hug and say, honey, it's okay. Like, you got whooped. You know, let's pick up the jab and all this. And, you know, it's just like, ooh, you kind of got caught with that combo here. Try this little swim move and, you know, get under that punch and get those ribs. So, yeah, she's like my Marvel daughter, you know, because I'm that age where, like, that could be my daughter. But Brie Larson, though, magical. She showed range. She was heroic. She was an annihilator. She had to deal with the same thing that almost every major iconic hero has to deal with: the damage that's left from the path of your greatness. And I saw this as a quote years ago, that someone's God is someone else's devil. And while everybody was praising Tony Stark and Stark Industries and Stark Technology, the Maximoff twins, Wanda Maximoff and Pietro Maximoff, Wanda, you know, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, were ready to slit Iron Man's throat. He was the reason why Sokovia crashed and burned and people from their family die. So yeah, Tony Stark wasn't nothing to them. They were ready to drop him, murk him. So that's kind of what I saw here, is we allowed her to grow and evolve and develop. The dance scene, the song scene, the dresses, the girl power, like the sleepover. Like, they just did so many good things in this film. They had fun. That's the thing I loved about it, was it got serious. The martial arts was good. The powers looked good. But they got serious when they needed to get serious. And this is something like DC just fails at. They just have to have a migraine the whole movie. They have to have a headache the whole movie. You never get the mixture of sun and light, dark and pain, and comedy. And they're trying now. They're trying now. But yeah, I love the future setups, the partnerships, and you know who we meet at the end. I love the Hawkeye show. I thought it was great. I think every great superhero, every man, especially as you hit 30, you start to realize, wow, at some point I might have to be mentoring these kids so that the train tracks, you know, stay put and then the train doesn't come off the tracks. Like, mentoring is how you do that, not complaining and arguing and yelling at people. You need to get hands-on with people, learn how they learn, and become a better teacher. So yeah, I love the connections. They connect, and they connected the Nick Fury show, the WandaVision show, the Ms. Marvel show, the Captain Marvel movie, and the Avengers Infinity. They connected all of it. It was just crazy to see, you know, Nick Fury with Skulls and Kree. He's dealing with Skrulls because of Kree. And then, you know, Ms. Marvel is dealing with the Kree, and now the backlash of the Kree now affecting the Skrulls. So I had a great, great time with this movie. The power vacuum is in effect because the Avengers Infinity, yeah, you blip people out, but now you blip people back. And the people who tried to take over is exactly what in Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel was trying to speak on. She's saying, you don't realize what's happening in other universes because of this one snap. And what we saw in Falcon and Winter Soldier was that on Earth. So if that's what was happening on Earth, what was happening in other places? So, y'all, I love where we're going. This is a great direction. But now I need to see Shang-Chi somewhere else. I need to see, I don't need to see Spider-Man somewhere else, but we need to see the new mixture of people around, right? We got to get around here. We don't want this stale air, and then we get a new film and a new person. Like, it's okay to couple and group, you know, these people together. This little Spider-Man show with Spider-Man, Ghost, and Miles Morales, like, they do it all the time, and it's adorable. The three of them go out and do everything. And that's why I think the multiverse was so cool, because we realize we don't live in a world where there's just one hero. We don't live in a world where it's just the ambulance. Like, I had to explain this to my daughter, because she's like, the fire truck is there, there's a fire. And I was like, no, honey, that's actually the first responders. They all travel together. You know, you have police and ambulance and the firemen, you know, to help. We live in a world where we're multiple heroes. We don't know how big a threat or damage is. I mean, how many times, y'all? How many times have we seen it in movies and the news where a whole SWAT team will drop in on one dude? They just want to make sure they can all go home. So they bombard them and attack. The TVA did it. SHIELD, Agents of SHIELD did it. So yeah, that would be actually a great place to maybe do a phase six, would be SHIELD, to just title it SHIELD, SHIELD Legacy, because now you have the excuse to go and hunt down Marvel heroes/villains anytime you want. They're your main database of almost everyone in the MCU. So yeah, they search and hunt down people. So that would be great. So, all right, y'all, that's all I got. I love y'all. Hope you love me back. See you soon.